Okay, thank you.
Madam Chair?
Okay.
I have a couple of quick questions. Dr. Edwards, this is Jane Solomon speaking, and in the investigative committee's report, it states, quote, respondent advised that she does provide heat support with heating pads or blankets. Staff explained that they use towels that have been warmed in the dryer. So
we don't have a heating pad. We don't even have a heating pad on practice, so I don't know where that came from, because I never would have said that. We haven't had a heating pad in this practice for 15 years.
So you're saying the report is an error from the investigative committee?
Yeah, yes, we don't have heating pads.
And maybe there was supposed to be a dock between them.
Okay. Thank you for clarifying.
This is Dr. Nosley. You stated that your procedures are generally short, and also that you do a fair amount of dentals.
Yes.
Are there ever longer procedures, a multiple extraction dental, anything longer? Sometimes these can go an hour or two or more. Does that ever happen in your practice when you might be a procedure that's longer?
Yes.
Okay. And how would you handle a case of hypothermia in that situation?
Warm towels that are repeatedly warmed and put back on the animal.
And then the temperature repeatedly monitored to see if it comes back up?
Yes.
In your anesthesia record, a temperature was taken at 10:50 and not again until 11:20. So we had a 30-minute period of time there where there were no temps recorded. Can you explain, do you know why that was?
We don't take the temperature as often as we do the heart rate and the respiratory rate, monitor the SpO2 and the blood pressure. So we don't take the temperature. We're used to, again, our dentals being with a lot of water, their temps going down. But I don't have my staff take them every 5 minutes.
Well, they took it at 10:40, they took it at 10:50, then not again until 11:20, and then again at 11:26.
Correct. And probably what was happening was I was doing my dental and my extractions. They don't take temperatures while I'm doing that. And again, we don't take them that often. Sometimes the technician will be, I'm going to take it every 5 minutes, every 15. I'm like, okay, that I just need the heart rate, the respiratory rate, the SpO2, the blood pressure. If the temp's going down, they tell me it's going down. But again, we are used to having 96, 97, 95 when they're under anesthesia. So that is nothing that bothers me, that I would rush in putting anything extremely hot on a dental patient.
I think you answered my question about hot water bottles. You have used those, but did not in this case. Could your technicians have the ability to use hot water bottles without you knowing?
We don't use hot water bottles. If we need to, and it's been years, we would heat up a bag of fluid.
Right.
But we didn't have to do that. Not at 96 degrees. No. Yeah. And I don't remember the last time that we had to do that.
I guess my question was, would the staff have to have your permission to do that? In recovery.
They haven't asked me. That's a good question, because they haven't asked me. You need to understand, my practice is very small. It's just me. So I'm basically in the rooms where they are. So if they're going to say, let's put, you know, a heating fluid a liter, they don't do that unless I tell them to do it, first of all. So we're so small that nothing happens with the technicians that I'm not aware of, especially during anesthesia. And a dental, because the dental table is right next to my office. So, you know, I'm the one who would always say, let's put a liter, warm up a liter of fluid and put it next to the animal. But again, that's been, I don't remember the last time I've done that, so it has to be at least 10, 12 years. We use towels, because when I was in vet school, it was stressed over and over and over again. You can get a thermal burn from an anesthetized animal and a heating blanket, because they can't move. So I've never forgot that. I've been practicing 35 years. I've never had a thermal burn.
So, yeah, that's certainly understandable for the procedure itself. I was I was referring to the recovery phase when you're not directly there and your staff is recovering the animal. That's my question regarding other external heat sources or water bottles or anything like that, or very, very hot towels out of the dryer. Could those happen without you knowing about it?
Could they happen?
Could it happen?
Sure.
Did you ask the technicians if they applied any external heat during the recovery process?
Yeah, once I got the complaint, and they're like, just help. Which, if you can pull them out of a dryer, there's no way they're going to burn the skin on an animal and cause that a burn. So I asked them, you know, I asked them, I said, what did you guys use? Anything different? They're like, no, warm towels on a dryer, our standard procedure.
Okay, thank you. On the 214 visit, the recheck, can you describe your exam of the area in question where you were told that the patient was painful?
I can tell you what my notes say. Normal cervix, heart, lungs okay, breathing easily, mucous membranes of pain, capillary refill time 1 second, pitting edema on the right ventral thorax with a quarter size firm lesion, skin on the right side is painful. I suspected a puncture wound from a plant or an insect bite, and I injected my standard insect bite issue, which is diphenhydramine and dex, and then I sent her home with a week's worth of prednisone. That's what I remember, because that's what I wrote. There was no open sore on the side.
Right. Did you have a history to support that?
A history of what?
Insect or plant penetration.
Well, I usually just go from the physical exam findings, because most of the time owners have no clue if there was a plant or insect bite.
Have you seen the photos in this case?
No.
That's all I have.
Any other questions from board members? Okay. We'll now hear from the complainant. Go ahead and please come forward. Are the complainant in this case?
I am.
So we've read the materials that you've provided. You may now address the board.
Sadie went to get the dental treatment on February 12th, and on February 13th, we were sitting on the couch, and I touched her right side, and she went after me. She never does that. And so I touched her again, and she did the same thing. So I was just looking at her side, and I noticed that she had a skin tag that was black now instead of skin color and shriveled up. So I called Pecan Grove. I was told that the doctor had no appointments for the week, but I could see a technician on Wednesday at 2 o'clock. So I said, fine, we'll be in there. So they took Sadie back, brought her back out, and Dr. Edwards came out also and said that it was probably a bug bite, and she's going home. They gave her 2 shots, and she's going home with prednisone. So we finished the prednisone, and on the 26th, I noticed that she was chewing her right back leg to where she had an open wound on it. So I called Pecan Grove again, asked for an appointment, and she said I could see the doctor on Thursday. And I said, okay, fine. She continued to chew all day long. And so I thought, well, I'm not going to wait. I called another vet, and she said, I can't take it. We'll call Trilogy. They're a medical center. They usually have open appointments. So we went in there and saw Dr. Schneer, and she said that this is a hot spot. And she wanted to take her back and take a look at it, so they did. and they brought her back and they said that her whole right side was burnt. And that's what the problem, that's what it was. So on the 27th, yeah, I got upset. I knew it was going to be, she told me it's going to be a long treatment. So when I got done at Trilogy, I did drive down to Pekin Grove, and I walked in and I said, I need to see Dr. Edwards. I just need 5 or 10 minutes of her time. And the girl told me that she had appointments. I said, I'll wait. And I calmed myself down because I thought I wasn't going to get any place if I went in there overexcited. And at the end of the day, Dr. Edwards came out and stood there and said to me, what did I want? And I told her, I said, well, I'm here because Sadie was burned. Well, we didn't burn her. And I said, well, I said, I was just going to mention that maybe you need to check your heating pads. I didn't want to get into an argument. I'm not a confrontational person. So she said, well, we didn't burn her. And she did not come over and look at Sadie. And I said, come on, Sadie, let's go home. We're not going to get anywhere here. So I took her home. And we continued her treatment. It was about 6 weeks worth of treatment. It was painful to watch. And I don't have anything else to say.
Thank you. Do any board members have any questions for the complainant?
Madam Chair, I have a quick question for the complainant. Did you at any time use a heating pad or any other heating device while you had her at home?
No.
Thank you.
When you went back in for that conversation, you said you had calmed yourself down. We're getting a little bit of, I mean, you heard the prior, a little bit of conflicting stories as to who started speaking first. Like, did she come out and ask what you wanted? And I'm just not sure I'm getting a full kind of picture of how that conversation went.
Okay, she came out like this and said, what do you want?
And you've been going to her for years. Is that typical? Like, is that how you normally interact with the veterinarian?
No.
So do you think there were
any reasons? But then I also had a burned dog in front of me either.
But did she have any way of knowing that Sadie had been burned?
No, but that's why. That's why I was coming down to tell her, and also to maybe look at whatever heating element she was using to see if it was faulty or not working.
At the time that she approached you, though, she wouldn't have had any reason to know why you were there.
No.
So no reason for her to be upset or defensive or... And then I was listening to the audio recording from the prior meeting, and there was concern about the timeliness of getting back in for appointments. I think there was some conversation around, do you reserve appointments to be left open? You know,
I did ask that question.
That question. Yes. Did you feel like, because it looks like this, the dental was on the 12th, you noticed the pain in Sadie on the 13th, and then you were back in on the 14th. Did you feel like that was the issue that wasn't timely?
But the appointment on the 14th wasn't with Dr. Edwards. I was told that the doctor had no appointments for that week available, but I could see a technician.
Okay, so you went in, and did you end up seeing Dr. Edwards that day, or did she come talk to you?
The technician came out and took Sadie in the back, and when he brought her out, it was the gentleman that was there. When he brought her back out, Dr. Edwards followed him out.
Okay, that makes sense. Thank you.
And she was the one that mentioned, it's probably a bone bite. And they were sending me home with prednisone.
Okay, that's helpful. Thank you.
I have a couple of quick questions. You took Sadie home after the dental. Afternoon, late afternoon, the day of the dental. And then her activities that evening, did she go outside?
Yeah, she went outside.
Did she eat?
I don't remember if she ate or not, because I probably would have given her soft food.
But she was acting okay, and she didn't go outside. Do you know how many times she went outside? Yeah. I guess that's hard to remember, but her normal activity.
Her normal activity is 3 or 4 times.
Does she go in and out on her own, or do you take her out?
I take her
out. You take her out.
Right.
Can you briefly describe her potty area?
It's the stone, but I have a pool, so I have a fence here where she can't get out and get to the pool. But it's right off the patio.
Plant material in that area?
No, not really. Outside the fence there is, but not
outside.
In there. Yep.
Okay. And you're out there with her?
Yes.
She's not out there by herself for a while. I mean, she potties, you bring her in.
Yep.
The next day, when she reacted, that was the next day, correct?
That was the next morning, yep.
About what time of day? You still had time to try to get into the clinic, right?
I don't remember what time it was.
When she reacted?
Yeah, I know she was sitting on the couch with me, and I was kind of rubbing her side, and that's...
But it would have been still office hours, because you called the clinic, right?
Yes.
And then when you say she started chewing at her leg, was it her leg or was it up in her groin, the top of her leg?
It was the top of the leg.
Okay, thank you. The other questions have been asked and answered. Thank you.
Okay. Any other questions from board members? Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Dr. Edwards, do you have any additional remarks or questions you would like to ask?
The only thing that I remember is I did come around the corner. I don't remember exactly what I said, but whatever I said angered Sadie's mom, and she just picked her up and scooped her out to them. And so I didn't get to look at Sadie, not because I didn't want to, but because the owner scooped her up from under the bench and took her out the door. So she's sounding like I refused to look at her, which I did not. And when she was in on February 14th, I was the one who looked at her. I just didn't have a slot for her. So I said, have her bring her back in, and I'll look at her in between appointments, but I don't have time to put her in an exam room because I have a full morning. So I did examine Sadie, and yes, I did go out and tell her. I thought it was a bug bite or an insect bite, again, because we don't use the burning thing, so it never even occurred to me that she would think that was a bug.
And are there any more questions from the board members for Dr. Edwards? No? Okay. This concludes the portion of the informal interview in which the board hears testimony. The board will now deliberate and decide what to do in this matter.
Alyssa, this is a tough case because we certainly have a don that is presenting with signs very, very consistent with a thermal burn, and yet we have no knowledge of any high heating device being utilized. I don't think towels, you can argue whether you think towels could do it. I've never seen it happen with warm towels from the dryer. I know that obviously if they're dependent and laying on it, that temperature is hotter than if you're just touching the towel, but having that multiple surgeries myself, getting heated blankets in a dryer is pretty normal. And I've just never seen it happen, so we can talk about that. I think the thing here for me was kind of this confrontational nature between we didn't do it, and yet we have a dog that has an issue that is in front of us. And I think that's where I have the most concern with it, although I don't know that it necessarily falls below our standard of care.
So I'd like to talk about, communication is always a hard thing because that's kind of a he said, she said type of situation. It's really hard to see what's going on, what happened in the moment. So that's a difficult one there. But going back to the patient itself, I mean, look at the side, and that does look like a thermal burn. It looks like a thermal burn I've seen before. It's got the black necrosis going on in there. It's got the slough in the skin. That's a thermal burn. I don't think we got a histopathology from a dermatopathologist, but I don't think we need that based on what we're seeing. So the question is, how can that actually happen? And really, it's very easy to burn a patient. Very easy to burn a patient. When you look at actual burn charts, you can get burns as low as 120 degrees. For 5 minutes, that's going to burn your skin. So a towel coming out of a dryer is going to be tipped more than 120 degrees. I will take towels out of my dryer at my house and have to carry it to the couch, and I feel it on my arms. It's definitely warm there. But it's not only temperature. It's also the pressure necrosis from laying down, and it's the pressure ischemia, I'm sorry, from laying down on necrosis. That's later. But it's also the inability to transport blood from those areas that allows that residual heat to sink in that area. And that's why we have items that are used for warming patients that are typically approved, FDA approved, or at least inspected, and that's warm water blankets, things like the hot dog warmers, that kind of stuff. Many, many people do use other unapproved, just warm devices, and that's where we see problems. But I definitely see a burn happening from a towel. That's easy to happen, and it does happen all the time. There's very many cases of those happening. So even from warm water blankets and a wet towel, you can actually burn the skin. So, like I said, I do see this as a thermal burn, and we're using an unapproved, untested source of warming, which is a dryer, which is never going to be any kind of specialist saying that's acceptable. So, I see this as a thermal burn, and I see this from towels.
I would agree up to the point of we've got to have, in this case, it would have to be pressure and heat. And we heard there was no pressure.
Or laying in the kennel afterwards.
Right.
But those are unheated blankets.
Okay. But we heard testimony
that they use warm towels for the
and they don't use warm towels under the patient, so the pressure. So I'm equally concerned as you are. The timeline of this, we either have to believe this was a thermal burn that happened in the clinic, or it happened in a few hours at home.
I don't believe it would have happened at home because the dog, you heard how the dog was behaving at home, and dogs wouldn't intentionally lay on a
blanket. They wouldn't stay laying down.
Right, that just wouldn't. So even if the owner had put down a heating pad for the dog, I just don't see a dog sitting there laying there. Especially when it's a dog that had been reported and went out multiple times. That just doesn't seem right to me.
And I will say that there are reports of dogs laying in heating blankets with arthritis that won't get up and will burn. That's better
than the dog.
Yeah, it has. So, I mean, it does happen.
And that's why I'm going to this dog was seen getting up and
getting
going
up. Yes,
right.
Yes.
That's why I was saying this is what we heard the dog doing.
So I think we're all in agreement this is a thermal burn. The trilogy doctor saw it right in the beginning and clipped the fur and said, this is a burn. This was before a slough.
Yeah.
Once we had that full dermal slough, there's no question that it was a thermal burn. So it either happened in the clinic or it happened in a few hours at home, and so which makes no sense. So this was a thermal burn. The evidence points to it happening at the clinic. On the other hand, we have the respondent saying it couldn't happen because there's nothing in my clinic that could have burned the dog. So here we are. I kind of look at this kind of case where, Mark, excuse me for being legal, trying to look at legal, but in a court of law, beyond reasonable doubt, no. But in a civil case, it's preponderance of the evidence, which is closer to what we do because we can't send investigators out. Do inspections and these things, the evidence before us. So we have no way of coming to any other conclusion that this dog was burned at the clinic.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. It's there's no other feasible place for this to
happen. Where could it have happened?
Yeah. Now, I also don't think this is intentional.
Oh.
So I think we have to factor that in. But I mean, I think this did happen, and the admission that we use towels, that's not something that's proved. I mean, that's something a lot of people do, but then when complications happen, how do you back it up? If you have a warm water blanket that malfunctioned, well, and you have a malfunction in there, it's a manufacturer, it has to be approved. When you're using these unapproved procedure warming devices, when there are approved warming devices, that's the problem for me. I said, I don't think this is intentional, but I don't think it actually is following acceptable procedures either.
I just think warm towels have been used at clinics that I've seen
for the last
25 years. And
I've never
seen that actually cause a burn. So while I think it could potentially, I could see where that would happen. But it's not something that I've seen happen enough that I'd be like, oh my God, using a warm towel is the worst thing you can do in the lower standard of care.
I'm going to tell you one thing. I've never seen a GEB in practice, but I know they happen.
Yeah. I agree that the likelihood of a towel, especially not applied to the side of the animal under pressure, very unlikely.
Well, and you're taking it from a dryer somewhere else in the clinic and walking it over, getting it somewhere. It's not like it's like the dog's sitting next to the dryer. I mean, there is some time.
It would have to be laying on it for 10 minutes.
I'm just telling you.
So, what are the other possibilities? Somebody is not. I hesitate to do that, but I'm left with the conclusion that somebody at some point applied a hot water bottle to this dog.
I mean, I thought in the trough, right? Like if you put a warm water bottle on the side. But we're going back to, we have nothing in the medical record that says that was done, and we have testimony that's saying that's not done. It's really hard to like hold somebody.
We have a reason not to put that in the record, too.
Right.
But it's really hard to find a violation unless you truly think the veterinarian is just not telling the whole truth. In which case, you don't.
I'm not saying that.
Somebody somewhere along the line at the clinic burned the dog.
But
the veterinarian is saying he did not use those things, and we're saying somebody did that because somehow this happened.
Well, he did use a warm towel. I don't think that she placed.
No, but what we were just talking about was the warm water bottle.
I would say that, but I still think this is a towel. I see this as a towel. I've seen burns before.
So you think they did put beside the animal during the procedure or under
the cold metal kennel? Because, I mean, what else are you laying on? The cold metal kennel that's going to be dissipating heat. You've got to have something between there.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would put a warm blanket under there. That would make sense to me. Put one on top. That's not a problem. Most of the time, it's not going to be a problem, but when you have a burn, towels do burn. We know this. I mean, burns are very, very easy to recur. The skin is very fragile. Think about if you have a temperature more than 108 degrees, you may not be living if you don't fix that pretty fast. It doesn't take much to destroy tissue with temperature. That's why you have warm water blankets, these kinds of things. But if you look, I mean, like I said, I've done a lot of dermatology stuff. There are many cases of burns happening from these kinds of things. They're out there. That does happen.
There's no temperature control. On what comes out of the dryer. You don't know what the temperature of the towels are.
We don't know the cause of it.
Is that enough to say that we are in violation? I guess that's the end all question.
Sure.
We can speculate all day what caused it. I mean, we had a short at our clinic when I used to work in private practice that actually caused the metal grate over the sink to get charged. We got zapped. Thankfully, the animal didn't. But anything can happen, right? But what we do know is that the animal was burned. So what is our action moving forward?
Well, an animal being burned from using a towel that is used consistently across practices to me is not a violation. It is a crappy thing, and it is terrible that it happened. But if that is what caused it, towels are used. So unless we can say something was done wrong, I don't know how we're finding a violation.
Where is the study that shows that towels are improved on? We know that these things can improve. That's why we don't use the heating blankets from CVS in the store. We know these things can burn. That's why we have approved.
What I'm saying is, in my experience, I'm going off of my experience, I don't need to be citing articles, but in my experience, in 25 years, I've used heating towels that come out of dryers, and I've never seen this actually happen. So what I'm saying, and I'm not aware of any practice act that says you can't use a towel out of a dryer. So I'm just sitting here going, even if they did use it.
But it doesn't say you can't use electric blankets either.
Right, but there's lots of research that shows electric blankets cause burns. There's not, I don't know.
But you're ignoring research that shows heated
towels out of the dryer are below the standard of care. Like, let's talk about it, but I'm not aware of that. I make a motion in the case of 24-123 to dismiss with no violations.
Second.
A motion?
The red books.
Yes, it's something because I think something happened to
something
that,
happened.
I just,
right.
Yeah. But I can't say that I can find where that happened. And again, we're going back on, we're all pretty confident this was a burn, mm-hmm. but where do things have happened? What if this isn't a burn? What if this is generalized necrosis from something that bit this dog or something that I don't, like there are other things that can cause generalized necrosis. So and now we're even making an assumption that it's a burn because most of us feel like it is. I can't prove that. And then on top of it, we're saying that a technique that is routinely used is below the standard of care.
There are other things, but not with this timeline and this history. Toxic epidermal necrolysis starts out with one little area necrosis and over a period of weeks it spreads.
I will need the description of that. I said already, I feel like it's a burn. I'm just saying.
Well,
I
she said
say,
there were other
there
reasons.
There could be other reasons. I'm just saying I can't say for sure.
I guess where I fall is there aren't any other reasons. With this timeline in this history.
So I have a motion to dismiss with no violation. Do I have a second?
Yeah.
So the motion dies for lack of a second.
So is there another motion?
I'm looking, why am I cannot find the failure professional?
Part 311501,
okay, 16,
under Article 5.
I don't know, okay.
As
so,
it relates
to
32, 312.
The 12, okay. So that's, I was like, which one was that one?
1322, 32.
Acceptable
procedure.
Yeah, that's acceptable procedure.
501.
It's
501. Yeah, professionally acceptable procedure. So I make a motion to find a violation of R311501 as it relates to ARS 3222 32. Oh, I just closed it. 12. For failure to follow professionally acceptable procedure by using hot towels from a dryer and a warming device.
Okay.
Okay.
Well, that's just, then you can excuse any thermal burn for any patient by saying, well, things happen. And that's why that's not a good enough argument for me. So things can happen. We've seen thermal burns before.
I think the hard part is calling out one specific thing, right? Because even the doctor herself in her statement, when Dr. Mousley asked the question, is it possible that a technician could have put a warming something or other in the kennel without your knowledge? She says, well, I suppose, right? So, like, I don't know if it's necessary to get down this towel argument.
Okay, that's fine. Yeah, that's fine.
We think that there's a burn, right? And the doctor can do the best that she possibly can and have rules. But, again, it goes back to we don't know if everybody follows those rules.
Right.
So I think it falls into the time frame. We have the burn that's it, that follows that. We had something. Maybe there was a short in her kennel that was heating up the kettle. Who knows? We had something that caused the burn to this, but I don't think I can blame towels as the reason. So maybe we could pull that.
So saying failure to use professionally acceptable procedures by using approved warming devices. I mean, just wording it because I agree the wording can be better. Okay,
right.
So I agree with that.
To ensure from the beginning to the end of the procedure that all the inappropriate warming devices were applied to the patients.
There's many approved devices out there.
Okay, I second that.
The wording's rough. Because even the approved devices can malfunction.
Right.
For sure.
The root of this is probably still a communications issue.
Yes.
We would have approached this case a little bit differently when the audit came in. We probably wouldn't be here. Right, and so that's a difficult aspect of it.
Given the respondent the opportunity to say, yeah, it looks like it was burned.
Mm-hmm.
And so the history looks like it was burned and we go on a different course.
Correct.
And then
right.
That didn't happen.
Because yes, you don't know all the variables. If something shorted, if somebody put something on, they shouldn't have. If a towel got too hot.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, because if you know that
it's more likely
cause, it'd be a lot easier to just address it right then.
But it's more likely than not it happened while the dog was at the clinic.
Yeah.
That's
but
the
yeah.
One.
If you look at the literature, there's many different ways for patients, humans and animals, to get burned by devices, and it's very simple and not something you would realize would happen. Like I said, it's not a fault, it's not malicious, it's nothing there, but there are approved devices for a reason. And things can happen with those, but then at least you have the company that you can fall back
on. You were using an approved device?
Yeah, that was just a failing of the unit as opposed to the procedure. So is that clear on that wording? Okay, so that's this motion. So a failure to use approved long devices, or for using unapproved long devices.
Can we even go more general, saying that yet?
For using devices that could cause a thermal burn.
Is there an, I mean, I know that there are studies on the devices that are out there, but is there an approved list for warming devices?
There's FDA approved stuff.
But is there an approved
Gamma warm water blankets. Not we don't.
Running most things that we have a standard of care.
If you're going to put something in that says approved language, I just want to know.
Think we can go down the road and say.
we don't approve like amoxicillin, that's based on other things. Right. We just say, was this used properly in this case? And it wasn't used properly.
I don't think we can go down the road of saying violation is that the respondent didn't use an approved device. I don't think we can go there. I think it needs to be to ensure that no device was used that could result in a burn. Period.
Yeah.
Agree. Would you like to amend the motion?
That's so amended for that.
Okay. I'll second.
Motion to second.
Yeah. So we have a motion and a second to find a violation.
Ms. Frost? You want me to come back in?
I'm a nay.
Dr. James is a nay. Dr. Nelson?
Aye.
Ms. Solomon?
Aye.
Dr. Thompson?
Nay.
Dr. Wright?
Aye.
I have a really hard time with the language of that because it probably where Dr. James came from just a little bit is that again there is no perfect list in veterinary medicine, and we've all learned what you shouldn't do, right? What you should do and what you shouldn't do, but then it doesn't mean that other people aren't going to do things that you don't know about, or a device isn't going to malfunction, because we've definitely seen that before through the devices malfunction and things happen. But I think what it really comes down to is that while the patient's in your care, even if you did everything your absolute best, something can go wrong. Something went wrong while this patient was incapacitated, which the only time we know that this patient was incapacitated was this window of time, which matches these quote-unquote burns or whatever. So, I don't know. That's why I'm struggling. Is what is the violation? What do we need to do?
Well, I don't know why we're necessarily not afraid of saying that warm towels out of a dryer is a bad thing. I mean, if you did that on the human side, that's going to be the bad thing. Just the fact that we don't want to...
It's
a warm towel. This is a thermal burn. There's no other option for a thermal burn. We're preponderance of evidence. This is 51% of the evidence. Where else are we getting a thermal burn? From a towel from a dryer that we all know dryers get extremely hot. So, like I said, if we did this on a human side, if we did it on a human patient... That's unacceptable to put a towel out of a dryer and warm a patient up. You have warming ovens for this, that we do that. I don't know why we're afraid to say that. Yes, it sucks.
Right, can we come to a conclusion on issuing perhaps a letter of concern? I think the violation is hard because we don't know what caused the issue. I know that you are 100% on towels. but I mean, as a board, coming together and saying, hey, is there a letter of concern about making sure that we're using appropriate heating devices for patient care.
That's still the same wording.
But again, I don't know. The towel, again, okay, let's go for 1 second with the towel. What did you say? We put a towel on a really cold surface that is pulling heat. Mm-hmm. So you just took a hot towel that you put on a cold surface that technically should have taken the heat away from the hot towel. So there goes that.
That's also going to be dissipated to the patient.
But let's, can we come to a conclusion, can we do a letter of concern that we want the doctor and the to use appropriate heating pieces.
Yes.
And also talk about communication and, you know, interactions with the client.
I don't think a letter of concern is strong enough. I would go with it to creative censure.
I mean, if they take the four blankets out of the hot box and they heat me with it after my procedures, which they do every single time, and guess what? If I were to get a burn,
how hot is that box?
It would be a complication of.
But what is that medical oven kept at temperature wise? It's not kept at a dryer, which is going to be.
It would be a complication of surgery. So my thing here is, unless you were saying that using a warm blanket to warm an animal is below the standard of care, you have no violation. You have a outcome of surgery that was not ideal, but you have no violation, unless you can say she used a known device that is wrong, like we all know, but... There are complications that happen all the time from surgery that suck, that are terrible complications. But that doesn't always mean that, there was a below-the-standard-of-care issue.
But if you used a foreign drug from an unapproved source, then that's the fault of the doctor.
Now you're going off on things that are
this is still a complication.
Can we think? There is nothing that fits the violation. I mean, there's nothing to pick from the book for a violation. And if we feel strongly that we want to say something, then a letter of concern would be the next course of action. We had one of the first cases this morning was something like, it was a complication, an unforeseen complication, that there were steps that were taken that wouldn't have changed the course of what happened. So, like, things happen in cases that we cannot foresee, right? So,
and you can foresee this with a towel because there's research out there that says don't use hot towels. Use warm water blankets, the hot dog blankets that monitor how hot these are getting. There's approved sources of this for a reason. If we're just saying willy-nilly, do what you want, and stuff happens, we'll just deal with it.
I'll make a motion in the case of 24-123 that we dismiss and issue a letter of concern for ensuring that proper heating devices are used and that the staff is trained on how to properly heat animals and how to monitor them during the recovery process.
Second.
Okay. Roll call. Ms. Brock?
Always first.
Nay. Dr. James is an aye. Dr. Nosley?
Nay.
Ms. Solomon?
Nay.
Dr. Thompson?
Aye.
Dr. Ray?
Nay. So it goes back to professionally acceptable procedure.
And a degree of censure instead of, a consent agreement.
Well, before we won't discuss the...
Okay.
We'll bring it back if you find a violation.
Okay.
Yeah, it's just a professionally acceptable procedure. A dog got burned. I said it's not malicious. We're not taking the license, right? But a dog got burned in the care of this doctor. And because we used a device that was not something that should be used. It's used all the time, yes. People speed all the time. That doesn't mean that's the right thing to do.
I'm even looking at it more myopically that the dog received the burn while in the clinic.
Yeah, and that's fine with me too. Just saying, for procedures that result, failure to use procedures that led to a burn.
We don't have anything on the other side to explain it. That's the reason. Yeah. So that's why it's a preponderance of the evidence.
So failure to use acceptable procedures that resulted in the burn of the patient.
Yes.
So find a violation of R311-501-1 as it relates to A32-22-32-12, or failure to use professionally acceptable procedures resulting in the burn of the patient.
Second.
Okay.
We have a motion and a second. Roll call.
Ms. Frost?
Aye.
Dr. James is a nay. Dr. Nosley?
Aye.
Ms. Solomon?
Aye.
Dr. Thompson?
Aye.
Dr. Wright?
Aye.
Motion passes. The board voted to find a violation. At next month's meeting, the board will consider adopting proposed findings of fact and conclusions of law. After doing so, we'll then discuss and adopt disciplinary action. If you have any questions, please call the board's executive director, Victoria Whitmore, at the board's office. This concludes the informal interview.
Thank you,
Dr. Edwards.
I'm going to disconnect the call.
Thank you.
and the board is going to proceed.
Forever.
Forever?
Yeah.
No, just for lunch because of my diabetes. So if the board's going to proceed, here are my four questions to the candidates.
Well, that's Nikki's going to.
Pardon? Yes. Do you want me to hold it?
Oh, yeah.
Thank you.
So I'm going to go to move on with the IC interviews. We're going to go to section 5, number 1B, Dr. Brian Jackson. Go ahead, step forward.
Jackson, presently practicing here in Arizona for the last 25, almost 30 years, somewhere around.
Last millennium.
And so, so you've been practicing here 25, 30 years. I'm guessing you've been a veterinarian longer?
A year and a half longer.
Okay.
For my internship.
Okay. And what do you currently do in practice?
Small animal medicine, mostly. Actually, yes, small animal medicine. Currently, I was on medical leave for my last position, and now I'm doing relief work.
Very good. Do you enjoy that?
Yes.
It wasn't a trick question.
Actually, my previous position was relief for multiple hospitals within the same country.
Okay. And so, why are you applying to serve on the investigative committee?
I've gone through the process once myself. It was definitely a learning experience to go through that. And I'm looking for a new challenge, something to do. Be part of the state and what we do here.
And so you know when the investigative committee happens, typically first or second Tuesday of the month,
yes.
And then it can be all day long. Mm-hmm. How does that work with your scheduling for what you're doing currently?
Not an issue at all. currently, yeah.
Okay. And what do you believe would be something that you would bring to the table to the investigative committee?
Mostly experience, a thought process to find out for the to go through the procedure of finding out what happened, as well as I'd like to believe that I've practiced ethical medicine for the last 25 years. Stay on top of good client communications and practice good quality medicine.
And one more question I have, because I got a little list from one of our board members, but how did you find out about the investigative?
There was a notice that went out through the Arizona Veterinary Medical Association.
Okay.
Yeah.
Very good. Thank you.
Yeah.
Any other questions from board members?
Yeah, I just had a couple questions, or maybe one. So you did your internship for 18 months in equine medicine and surgery?
I did.
Cool. Just kind of do dog and cats after that, but you still stick up with the horse medicine and stuff?
I do not do horse medicine anymore.
I don't think so. I just didn't know if you kept up on that, because we do see some cases, equine cases from time to time, so that knowledge is kind of helpful. You know, we all have some equine knowledge, but I'll go give it a shot. Dad, I was curious about that. If you still practice any kind of equine medicine?
I do not. I read stuff about equine medicine quite a bit, but I haven't practiced equine medicine in years.
Cool. Thank you so much.
Yeah.
Thank you.
All
right. Any other questions? No? Okay. I know we have a few more interviews today and then and next month, so we should have an answer at next month's meeting, is our plan?
Sure.
All right. And then I guess the Victoria. Awesome. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Okay, so we have another informal interview plan. Do we need to take a break?
Are
you ready?
Sure.
Okay.
You guys probably need to talk one at a time if you want the record clear, though.
Oh, wait, you just met us?
We are not capable of talking in advance.
You've been here before.
I've been here a lot. You can do better.
Apparently you have
to. Touché.
Okay, so we'll go ahead and
do we need to wait for Miss Dahlman?
Yeah, I mean, anything maybe minor procedural.
Was it about 20 minutes, though?
Yeah. Do you want to, like, move to something else quick?
Could we just do the consent agenda with her? That's going to take a lot to read those letters.
I have to recuse from one thing.
Oh, and then we have only four. Well, we can always come back and do that
like
on individual.
Approve the CE plan.
Okay,
that works.
Give me 1 second. Okay, so we can go to... Section 4, number 3, case 2360 regarding Vicki Harris, ABM, board member review, discuss and take action on continuing education courses completed and on revised plan submitted to complete the requirements.
Nick, sorry, on this one, I saw Dr. Harris, the email chain.
Yes.
I don't think that was completed, was it?
Yesterday she sent one that I could read, and so those were uploaded.
Okay. And then there was a question about the screenshots and the hours.
So I feel like that she didn't.
I didn't see how they matched any of the courses.
I don't know that I compared if they matched, but I thought she had provided something in an email that said the hours.
Yeah, I was just looking for something to correlate those cell phone screenshots
I see
with
what you're saying.
The actual course.
It's been a couple weeks since I got this, so.
She did send an email to answer the question in the last.
Well, we can see. Let me see if there was, just to be sure that I didn't miss uploading another email. Because she did send lots of screenshots of things.
Yeah. So we're going to go. So, I would make a motion to accept the CES completed and return the license to active status. If I did that.
I'll second.
that we're approving. For one, we're approving that, so she's not going to back to active status yet. Right, she's not back to active status, but she's still got to complete
that. She has that 1 hour.
That 1 hour left.
Yes, she has that. Okay. Okay. Motion. So,
yeah, so I'm in that week. To approve as, that doesn't need a motion to approve what she's done so far, does it? We're just waiting on her.
She, since she submitted, we could approve those, but we have to wait.
We can approve the other ones?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm going to go ahead and do that.
Okay. So I make a motion to approve the CE that's been completed.
And I'll second.
Okay. So I have a motion and second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Passes. Section 4, number 4, case 2488 regarding Carolyn Lopez, CDM. Board may review, discuss, and take action on additional information submitted for continuing education plan. So this one, the board was requesting information from a web page or the provider that documented the number of CE credits, so similar to the previous person. So this one was just the documenting the 1 hour on the communication, the workplace communication? It started out that way, but then when she sent something in, she sent in, I feel like, different courses. Oh, and then she said she would like to replace. Oh, yeah. The original one sheet we asked for a description on, she swapped it out with this one.
Yeah. So it's just, do you approve
the
second
this.
One?
I'll say, yeah. I'll make a motion to approve as substituting the previously approved hour.
Okay, we have a motion. Do we have a second?
Second.
All right, all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. We go to. For number 6, case 2362 regarding Lorna Landman, DVM. Board may review, discuss, and take action on compliance with board order and may return license to active status. So this is the.
It's 2446, right?
This was kind of an unusual one.
This is 2362.
Oh, sorry,
okay. For alignment, yeah. Sorry, go ahead.
I'm sorry. So she had been on probation for two different cases,
different.
Kind of that overlapped. And while she completed the requirements for 2362, we couldn't take her on probation because she was still on probation for the other one. So now we're just kind of just cleaning this up to officially turn her to active. Orders are complete.
Anybody have a motion?
So I'll make a motion to accept and return the license active status for Laura Landman in 2362.
Okay, second.
All right, we have a motion and a second to return the license active status. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed. Passes. Section 4, number 10, combined cases 2425 and 2476 regarding Diego Flores, DVM. Board may review, discuss, and take action on revised continuing education plan, and that is in your supplement 1.
Another revision because the courses that put in are no longer available. So he was substituting two more courses.
So that was the.
And that's supposed to be, let's see.
That's basically anesthesia based on those.